As the situation continues to develop on the streets of Washington, D.C., the question, what's next, keeps getting louder and louder, does it not? The answer depends on how the present is responded and reacted to, and that response and reaction will determine more quickly than most believe, by the way, what will become of our Republican rights as we head toward the 250th anniversary of America's founding. Joining us to share his analysis and hopes is syndicated radio host and best-selling author whose book coming out next month is The Last American President, A Broken Man, A Corrupt Party, and A World on the Brink, Tom Hartman. Thanks for being here today, Tom.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Thanks for inviting me.
A couple of websites. We have them on our homepage, too. Check out Tom's media work, tomthom.tv. And to keep on top of his insights through Substack, Hartman, that's with two N's, HartmanReport.com. And again, we have those links over at our homepage. If you showed someone video, Tom, of what's happening in the streets of D.C. today and didn't tell them the location, what would they think was happening and where would it be?
Oh, they'd think it was Russia or Belarus or, Hungary or something, one of the Erdogan's Turkey or El-Sisi's Egypt, a tin pot dictatorship, basically.
It just keeps reminding me, too, where Trump has been, it's not like he's been secretive about his wants and his will and his whims, and people keep responding, well, he doesn't mean it, or no, he won't be able to do it. Well, he's been pretty much moving forward every step of the way, at least in Trump 2.0, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has surrounded himself now with sycophants and people who are not, career professionals, but instead are people just willing to do whatever he wants. The New York Times just has a brilliant podcast about this, their daily from yesterday, where they go through the argument that Tulsi Gabbard made that Barack Obama was somehow involved in a conspiracy to get Trump. It's complete fantasy. It was completely made up. And then Pam Bondi is quoting literally Russian propaganda, about Hillary Clinton. It's Kash Patel, same thing, literally citing Russian propaganda, calling it real when it's not. Phony emails that were put together by Russian intelligence services. So it's wild. It's just wild, Chris, that, we've got this guy in power who has put into place people under him who are willing to tell really big lies just to punish the people that he feels wronged him. And so now you've got John Clapper and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and all these people having to hire some very expensive lawyers. And he's already intimidated enough law firms that it's getting harder and harder to find a lawyer who will take on the administration. We are moving rapidly down a road toward fascism here.
Which in part maybe explains, too, why you have places like Harvard and Brown, CBS, ABC, others surrendering and basically a pay-to-play situation going on with the hopes that, okay, if we cut this $16, $20, $25, $500 million check, we'll get them off our back. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, and now you have companies doing this, too. You've got a couple of chip companies that have agreed to give Trump, a percentage of their sales. And we still don't know where that percentage is supposed to go. Is it supposed to go into Donald's pocket? Is it supposed to go into the general fund? And when did we start having state capitalism in the United States anyway? I thought that, we were supposed to let business run business and let government run government. This is so beyond the pale and such a violation of things that the Republican Party. I mean, I grew up, my father was a Republican activist. My brother was a Republican consultant, a campaign guy. And, these are not the kind of things that the Dwight Eisenhower's GOP or Mitt Romney's GOP or Barry Goldwater's GOP would have ever gone for. Let's appease Russia. Let's tell lies, about our political enemies. Let's help the president make $3.4 billion in his first 6 months in office, hustling Bitcoin and stuff like that. I mean, it's just wild, Chris. It's nothing we've ever seen before.
And again, not in secret. I mean, he's even already saying, and you can look how it's unfolded, too, with a smaller scale in Los Angeles, what we're seeing now on a larger scale in D.C., and Trump saying, well, if Congress doesn't allow me to do this past the 30-day mark, that I'll declare under an emergency act and do the same in other cities, which, you know, probably makes Eric Adams reconsider his kissing of the ring with what was going to come down on him sooner versus later. But again, what is the empowerment? I mean, you talked about around him, but we see the resistance in the people in the streets with various times have been organized nationwide protests, but where's the resistance in the elected halls of the people that we as voters hire to protect us?
Well, it's starting to show up. I mean, Gavin Newsom, took the fight to him last night, and a bunch of ICE guys showed up outside, you know, just proving how politicized this secret police agency that Donald Trump has kind of reinvented is. You've got J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, who is speaking out aggressively. I think he's doing a great job. You got a number of members of Congress, you know, Chris Coons, Bernie Sanders, Sheldon Whitehouse, Elizabeth Warren, forcibly speaking out. The problem is that Chuck Schumer has been, you know, as usual, kind of playing the cautious wimp. And Hakeem Jeffries seems like he's trying to go down the middle here, and I don't see any middle left.
No, maybe the best thing that in the Senate the Democrats have going for them might be Cory Booker at this point.
Yeah, well, it's hard to say. I think that in terms of who's gonna lead the party right now, there's just a horrible vacuum of leadership. And, Kamala Harris was our last presidential candidate. She should have been out there speaking out for the last 8 months rallying the troops and basically doing what Bernie Sanders is doing with his anti-oligarchy tour. But she's too busy doing something else. I don't know what it is. I guess vacationing in Hawaii. And Joe Biden has been silent, and Bill Clinton has been silent, and Barack Obama has been relatively silent. These are the people that you would expect to be speaking out about the fate and future of the republic. And it's just a massive disappointment that they're all just rolling over for Trump. It's pathetic. It's just downright pathetic.
Talking with Tom Hartman.
So it's up to us. You know, it's up to the grassroots. Yeah, pardon me.
No doubt. We'll get into that a little bit more, too, as we get into your upcoming book. We're talking with Tom Hartman, nationwide radio host and author, whose next book is The Last American President, A Broken Man, A Corrupt Party, and A World on the Brink. Tom, THOM.TV. And Hartman with two N reports, HartmanWithTwoNReport.com to check out his Substack writing. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Turning to your book, and it stands out to me because it's easy to say, here's what's happening, but you also provide, and we'll get to that these in a bit, the ways to respond. But the roots of Donald Trump. Who holds more sway over those roots, Fred Trump or Roy Cohn?
Fred Trump basically destroyed Donald's psyche. I mean, you know, Fred was a psychopath himself, and he was a very distant father, and Donald was a troubled child, and Donald's mother completely rejected him. In fact, every summer, when he was home for the summer, she would go to Scotland all by herself just to get away from him and the family. And so he grew up unloved, unappreciated, and he wasn't all that bright, you know, but he was big, physically big, and he was a bully. And so they sent him off to military school and stuff. So I'd say Fred Trump broke him. And then Roy Cohn taught him how to recover from that break, basically, how to become, you know, a high-functioning psychopath. never admit that you're wrong, always attack others, you know, never play defense, always play offense, and lie with impunity, because eventually, you know, if you say the lie often enough and loudly enough people will believe it, that it becomes truth, or at least is accepted as truth. And that's, you know, he's been following Cohn's suggestions ever since.
I know this is superficial, but have you noticed how Emil Bove and Stephen Miller look like Roy Cohn?
Yeah, isn't that weird? Yeah.
I mean, there's something deep and psychological in there, I think, something that at some point someone has to explore. But if whoever was brave enough to get into Donald Trump's head, his attraction to autocrats, is that because a weak person is drawn to a person of strength? And to try to elevate themselves, do you think?
I suspect it's more that he understands these people. I mean, you know, most of your autocrats are a similar psychological profile to Donald Trump. People who had miserable childhoods, who have felt powerless much of their lives, and are seeking power out of insecurity, and so they become brutal dictators essentially. So. I grow up. So I think that they're role models. They become friends. He doesn't much like the leaders of democratic countries. He's made that clear. He doesn't understand how democracy works, and never bothered to try to learn basic civics even. So my guess is that it's that more than anything else. It's possible that Putin has something that he's hanging over him. That email that was supposedly from Medvedev, it turns out it was from somebody in the Russian media saying to Donald Trump, saying, if you think that Mossad is the only agency that has the Jeffrey Epstein videos of you with young girls, think again. I think those kind of messages might make Trump a little nervous, but I think really, what he's trying to do is turn America into Russia and himself into Putin.
With his attraction to conspiracies, do you think he genuinely believes them, or does he see them as a tool to get people to believe him?
Oh, clearly it's the latter. He knows generally what's true and what's not, although when he repeats things often enough, he starts to believe them also. I mean, that's one of the problems. Psychopaths and professional liars or liars who really just can't help themselves. They'll tell their lies repeatedly, and then they'll start to believe them. So, there you go.
Wrapping up here with Tom Hartman, his upcoming book, The Last American President, where he helps you recall and understand what is at risk. And as I said, probably most importantly, although I know you put a lot of work into everything leading up to Chapter 14, you bring about through logic and even historical content the way to resist. What's one of the key ways? I don't want to give them all away here because obviously I want people to pre-order your book over at Amazon, but what's one of the key ways that people could be preparing right now to be a part of the resistance if they're not already?
Yeah, well, feel free to give them away, first of all. It's more important that people get the information than that they buy the book, as much as I would appreciate it. But, this is going to require us. We have to get active. We need to get in the streets. We need to be waking up our friends. We need to be speaking to our elected officials. We need to get inside the Democratic Party and take it over and move it in a more activist, progressive, and populist direction. We need to be supporting the politicians who are calling out Trump and are willing to fight for our democracy. And we need to purge the party of the politicians who, the so-called problem solvers who, their big concern is, when's the next big check coming from a corporation that I can do favors for by writing, goodies for them into legislation. There's a whole caucus of these people that call themselves problem solvers that are just basically corporate shills. So, that's a beginning point for our work. Were there any things in there in that list in the book there, Chris, that you wanted me to particularly focus on?
No. I mean, it sort of goes with what's been my longtime mantra of people automatically eliminate themselves from having any worth or any influence, any sway and everything. And I always say to whoever I can, if a lot of people did even a little, a lot can happen.
Yeah, that's well said. That's absolutely well said. And it's going to come down to us. He has not yet completely seized control of this country. And has not yet completely corrupted all of our institutions. He's moving as fast as he can to do both those things, but I still think that it's possible that we can stop it, particularly if his crazy economic policies lead to an economic crash. We just got the numbers yesterday suggesting that vegetables, for example, are up 38%. Why? Because they're rotting in the fields because of the ICE activities. You've got other, producer prices, which is basically the stuff coming into the country. Those prices are up 11% annually, 9% for last month. And, that portends great, terrible inflation, great high levels of inflation, coming down the road, in the next 6 months to a year. So, buckle up and get ready. It's going to get wild.
And everyone has a place to do the resistance, from your social media page to when you hear the organized events taking place, and they are more and more frequently. There's only a voice when there are people with their voice, and it's your time. It's your time, and it's now. Find out more about some direction and some understanding and exploration of what has been, what is, and how you can influence what will be. That's part of what Tom's book, The Last American President, Broken Man, A Corrupt Party, and A World on the Brink, will help you become a lot more aware of. Check him out on his media side at TomTV, THOM.TV, and his Substack writings at Hartman2EndsReport.com. Tom Hartman, longtime listener, pleasure to finally talk with you, and thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Chris, for inviting me on your program. I appreciate it.